Ken says, I have no love for the medical establishment. I have Dr. Daniel's book, but can't use it to educate others because there is no verification of her claims. For example, where did she get the $10,000, $40,000 figure that she applies to hospital patients who are discharged alive or dead?
Oh, just Google it. I went to Dr. Google for that.
Did
you know the average cost of a hospitalization if the patient, if the person lives? And then I went and looked up the average cost if the patient dies. Just looked it up.
Just looked it up. Here's a separate question. Has she ever used cannabis products in her practice like they did pre 1937?
When they were, when I was in practice, which was 1990 to 2000, they were illegal, and I was just, I had enough problems without breaking the law.
They were angry with you enough, right? I don't mean
that. I had enough problems, so I wasn't doing anything to break the law. You know, I already wasn't using any drugs. I already was using turpentine. I mean, I was just so far out there that I could not afford to even begin to recommend anything that was illegal. But I certainly didn't tell anyone who was smoking pot to stop.
So here's Mark. He's got something going on here. Two different docs said that diagnosed with GERD, the dreaded GERD, possibly anxiety and gastrointestinal issues. I experienced some discomfort in my gut and some bloating at times and not always acid reflux. Then I feel some pain, discomfort in my lungs and pains in my arms. I get shortness of breath, feel some weakness in my arms and legs. And this is where anxiety sets in as I worry about some form of heart attack is happening. Then I get some ringing in the ears and then I feel my heart pounding in my chest. I've had EKGs and that law.
Probably it's getting out of hand here.
I think it's just being anxious. I do not want to, I don't want to be taking Nexium for the rest of my life, always on Nexium. And I don't think I really need that stuff all the time, just occasionally to get acid reflux. The other thing, I have red itchy eyes. So he's got a whole lot going on here, and he's on Nexium.
All right, so let's talk about Nexium. Let's just cut to the chase.
It's
here.
Tough.
So I would say use Nexium as infrequently as you possibly can. Nexium causes esophageal cancer and kidney failure with dialysis. So unless you're looking to get one of those two things, I would say Nexium is not for you. Now, let's get back to the original problem, which is upset stomach. Again, not upset stomach, but we'll call it indigestion.
Yeah, GERD,
let's not make this any bigger than it is.
Right.
Yeah, gastroesophageal reflux disease, that's GERD. Sometimes this is reflux and heartburn. Again, skip breakfast. Don't do it. Skip breakfast. And that food you would have eaten for breakfast, eat it later in the day. But skipping breakfast gives your body a chance to empty out the stomach completely so that you don't have indigestion. And drink more water. It's very, very simple. The other thing you can do is when you think you need some Nexium, get some fennel seed and chew it.
Mm-hmm.
And chew it and keep going. You can take up to a pound a day, well, 2 pounds a day of fennel seed safely. So that's a much cheaper and safer solution. And fennel seed actually solves the problem. Over time, you need less and less and less and less fennel seed.
What's the fennel seed doing that? Now, the Nexium is just simply getting rid of the acid. It's a proton pump inhibitor, right?
Right. Cool. So your pH in your stomach is supposed to be 1.8. Nexium can raise it as high as 7.
Oh, good.
And that means that parasites go straight through to the rest of your body and give you this long list of symptoms that he has. He should notice that things are getting worse, deteriorating. I mean, the symptoms he's getting are so bizarre that if you didn't understand the side effects of Nexium, you would tell this guy he's crazy.
Now, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, you even had to stop reading the list. You're like, huh.
Yeah, okay, so, I had to stop reading. I just couldn't stand it anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
What's happening is the Nexium is totally destroying his immune system, and that's why he's getting all these symptoms.
Yeah.
So he went to the doctor with GERD, and now, you know, everything in his body is going haywire, and that's from the Nexium. So switch over to fennel seed. And skip breakfast, increase your water intake. If you're on the skinny side, no problem. Just eat more between noon and 3 p.m. to make up for what you missed in breakfast.
Is it fair to say that the whole Nexium idea, oh, well, you just have too much acid, so I got to get rid of it, that's not really well thought out, is it?
It's very well thought out. Because if you go with that theory, it'll make you so sick, you'll need more medical care.
Oh, I see. So
I think it's very well.
That wasn't what I thought, what I meant, but
yeah,
I get
you. It's a good idea for the folks who came up with it.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Brilliant, yeah,
mm-hmm.
brilliant.
Yeah,
just brilliant.
I'm impressed.
So am I. They sell a lot of Nexium. I mean, you know, why wouldn't you be impressed, you know? Oh, my goodness. 888-663-6386. Email Patrick.
As I told you, it would be absolutely, totally, and in all other ways, inconceivable.
I know, it just would, but they did it. They did it. Please ask Dr. Daniels the following. After traveling to Senegal, for a month in February, and walking on the rough beaches with cracked heels, I continue to this day to experience a very tender heel and has throbbing pain ever so often. I put Vicks Vapor Rub on the other day, and the pain became more intense. My instinct tells me to do something. Maybe there's something foreign in there, like a Sengali beaver or something. A little sea urchin or poison or parasite. Any suggestions?
Yeah, just soak that in castor oil for a couple of hours, and whatever is there will come out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jim wants to know if taking turpentine, does it affect any of the good bacteria similar to antibiotics?
No.
It
doesn't kill anything. It sedates the bacteria, good and bad, so that your immune system can decide what to keep and what to dump. So it's not the kind of thing where you have to take probiotics to rescue the good guys or replace them because they haven't been destroyed.
It just sedates them. That's brilliant.
The great thing about turpentine is it puts your immune system in control.
Mm-hmm.
So it creates a situation when your immune system can say, "Ooh, we're going to keep this one. Ooh, throw that one away. We'll save this one and see how it works out." And so your immune system can literally do what it's designed to do, which is simply sort.
Hmm. Wow. Pretty cool. Sleep apnea. Danny has sleep apnea. I was diagnosed. What can I do to help myself? The doctor said it could lead to a heart attack.
Yep, they're working on it. Okay, so.
Wait a minute. Look at all these little thoughts they put into Danny's head. God love them.
We have, we've covered the heart attack thing, right? Glass of water before you go to bed, glass in the morning. Okay, good. Got that. So we're taking care of the heart attack risk. But the question is, what about sleeping with this god darn machine? What about this snoring? And there's a lot of things about sleep apnea that's really annoying. Like, you're not really getting good sleep at night, so you're tired during the day, and it's just on and on and on. The quality of life is just, ugh. So what do you do? The answer is, or what I've found, is people with sleep apnea, if they detox, get rid of the junk in their diet, and cleanse, the apnea just goes away. They don't have sleep apnea anymore. Like when I first met my husband, he had sleep apnea. Oh, my God. I thought he was going to die. Stop sleeping. I was like, wait, wake up, wake up. But I put him on a no meat, no dairy diet, no processed foods. And it took about a month or two, and no sleep apnea.
Yeah. Also, Doc, I think the yoga, I'd been doing a lot of work on my neck and neck rolls. And, boy, it really improves the clarity of breathing, the ease of breathing. And if you can lie down and just breathe nice and slow and easy with no blockage or something, I think you could sleep a lot better too.
That might help as well.
Yeah. Breathing is good. Breathing is good. I'm 57-year-old, partnered with a 68-year-old fellow. We're both experiencing typical problems with what we've been told are the effects of our bodies no longer producing hormones. Oh, my God. I heard Dr. Daniels mention previously that hormones are not necessary to take after this point in life, but we've not heard any in-depth discussion about what to do instead. His symptoms are ED, lack of ability to stay hard even during sex, far less ejaculate than he used to, loss of desire, loss of sensitivity. My symptoms, loss of desire, sensitivity, little or no lubrication, not sure about thinning of vaginal walls, sure hope not. We both want to have sex a lot, but it's just not happening here. We both enjoyed so much before, and then all this, now it's just kind of going downhill. God love her. Missy. So Missy and partner, at least they're doing this together, right? That's good.
Right, now let's take a look at this. We have a 57-year-old and a 68-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Big age difference, but they're having the same problem at the same time.
Yes, yes.
And they're together. I'm going to take a big guess that they're living together.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, they're eating the same stuff that's giving them the same problem at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an age thing. And we know it's not an age thing because
it's not.
She's not 68, right? She's only 57. Shouldn't she be getting this at 68 if it was really an age thing? Right. Okay. So having said that, then, you both have to drastically change your diet. The first thing to do, I would say, is do about a month of a vegan diet, and you can sort that out using the cookbooks at my website. Mm-hmm. I would get all four volumes of the cookbooks. You can sort through, and that way you can find the recipes that you like. That alone is usually enough to solve his problem. And so I would do that to start. And the other thing is, we got to get this guy a little, you know, excited.
Yeah.
So, yeah, raw garlic. That will clear him out and get him back in the game. The easiest way to get a lot of raw garlic into a guy is recipe one in cookbook one, which is the salad dressing, which calls for a whole head of garlic. Literally, you make this recipe and you can spoon feed this guy raw garlic. And it'll take about an hour or two, and he'll all of a sudden, you know, start talking about sex and, you know, expressing an interest. So that's what I would do for him. For the woman, I think it's better for her to just directly clear out her liver. So what she would do is she would take milk thistle. I prefer to advise or recommend making your own tea, because a lot of the supplements, you just don't know what's in them. They'd say, well, this is an extract. Well, extract of what, and how do you extract it? Well, this stuff, you just buy it and take it. So you don't want to be in that position. So just buy your own milk thistle seeds. You can get them organic on Amazon, and grind them up, 2 tablespoons, 6 cups of boiling water, steep it for at least 5 minutes, and drink 1 cup of this every day. And that's going to get your liver to suck up more toxins and get rid of them. And both of you should take Vitality Capsules Extra Strength. So the Extra Strength Vitality Capsules have cayenne in them, which improves his circulation to the necessary equipment to make things happen. Also, for the woman, it improves her circulation, helps her liver, and gets her interested and excited. So both of you should definitely take the Extra Strength Vitality Capsules.
Yeah. So you think, like, a vegan diet for a month or so will get things back to basics, kind of help clear things out.
Get things cleaned out. Yeah, he's got to clean out stuff. He's congested.
See where they are.
And then when he starts eating meat again, I would recommend a high cholesterol meat. Cholesterol is the building blocks for testosterone and for estrogen. So you don't want to be in a low cholesterol diet. So you can eat liver. If you want to eat eggs, they're high-ish in cholesterol, but liver is higher in cholesterol. So liver would get both of you excited as well. But that's not the place to start, because it sounds like things are pretty clogged up here. Mm-hmm. So I would go with the vegan diet to unclog things, and the garlic, you know, to just get him functioning while you're working on that. And also the Vitality Capsules. I would start the Vitality Capsules and the diet and the garlic and the milk thistle now. And then I was introduced liver maybe a month down the road.
It's funny you mentioned garlic. I used to study yogic traditions 30 years ago, a long time ago. And that's one of the things I always said not to have is garlic, because it impairs your meditation, because you want to go out dancing and not meditate.
That was your sex drive.
That's exactly right.
Meditation.
I'm not going to meditate, man. I'm out of here. Okay.
That's yeah. I'm going to do. I'm not going to think.
Isn't that
I'm going to do.
something like garlic. Isn't that funny? Yeah, it's funny. I have a growth about the size of a nickel on the outside of my breast. And this is from a girl, lady. It is located directly above an incision. I had to remove a nodule on my breast about 10 years ago. The growth is hard and movable. It's not very tender. First noticed it about 6 months ago. I saw a doctor, and I needed to have it biopsied to see what it is, because it may turn into something dangerous. I know not to do that, because I feel the only option I will be given is surgery. What can I do? I eat all organic, generally at least 2 bowel movements a day. Eat mostly vegetarian organic, adding some eggs sometimes, once or twice a week. Drink water, filtered water, have a green drink made of lettuce, parsley, green pepper every day, take milk thistle, selenium, bilberry, eyesight. I also take orange-labeled Great Lake gelatin for collagen in my joints. So doing a lot of good stuff here, Doris, but once there's one who knows about this biopsy option she's been given.
Okay, so the doctor said this needs to be biopsied because it could turn into something. That means he knows it's nothing right now. So you have to listen closely to what people are telling you. This guy's telling you this is nothing. It could turn into something. Well, why don't we biopsy when it turns into something? So if we know it's nothing and harmless now, let's leave it alone. So it sounds like what she really has is a keloid here. And this is a lump that forms next to a scar, and it can be very hard. This is a side effect of her Great Lakes gelatin. And so this gelatin is forming this scar, this bump here. And so what she should do is cut back or stop her Great Lakes gelatin, and she would see this lump recede.
Stop it.
I would stop it myself. I mean, if the lump is bothering me, it's a big lump, it's hard, probably not even tender. So these are called keloids. When you have a lump like that forms right next to a scar. And sometimes it's actually in the scar, but it's because of excess collagen circulating in the system. And this is why blacks get keloids and whites don't, because blacks eat an ultra-high collagen diet.
Oh, they do.
Right.
Oh, just because of the ham hocks and stuff like that.
And pig's feet and pig ears.
Pig ears, yeah, stuff like that. Here's a good question. Lynn says, what would you recommend for the young, stressed out, and anxious? I guess she's got a
drop out of school. Yeah. Drop out of school. Get out of school. Drop out of school. Turn off your cell phone. Don't watch the news. Don't read the newspapers. And just look around you and accept that as information. So they try to keep young people stressed out and anxious. You're looking for the next... you know, the next lone shooter.
Yeah.
You're worried about the next false flag. You're worried about all kinds of stuff that doesn't matter. But subconsciously, you're worried that you're going to school and learning nothing useful. And so it really can put you in a panic. So I would say at whatever age you are, I mean, if you're at the point of feeling anxious, then you're old enough to drop out. So if you need your parents' permission to drop out, then you can go talk to them and say, hey, you know, this school is not working out for me, this school thing. Is there something useful I could do for you at home to make it worth your while to let me drop out of school? And you can even explain to your parents how much money they're going to save when you drop out. They don't need to buy school clothes. Skip those back to school sales. No transportation to and from school. You can add up every last penny they're spending on you for school. It's at least $10,000 a year, even if you're going to a public school. And say, hey, you know, I'll stay home. I'll cook dinner, whatever, you know, whatever you have to barter. But that's the answer. You got to stop the cause, which is school.
School. Thank you so much for getting pig ears into my daily diet. My farmer said that he had never heard of anybody eating them. Most young folks would never eat organ meats, much less pig ears. I'm now thinking of pureeing the cooked pig ears into the food processor with all the gelatin, freeze them in small cubes for young folks to add to their meals. What better way to regenerate their core lower backs? Thanks for all your information. That's funny. Huh, pig ears.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I asked my pig guy. He's got really clean pigs, and he never heard of it either. He said that we'd have to. He said we'd have to just get them when they slaughter the pigs. But I'll look into it for you, so I may score some pig ears.
Exactly. Even here, they had to tell me, "Oh yeah, we have to wait till we slaughter a few pigs. We'll save the ears for you."
Yeah.
They literally took them a whole week to save up 3 or 4 pounds of pig ears.
And what do you do with them? Do you cook them?
Oh, yeah, I cook them, make a soup out of them. Oh, I love them. They're so tasty.
Really, yeah. So I'm going to talk with them again on Wednesday and say, okay, where's those pig ears? We did have some ham hocks, and those are really good. Whew, man.
Yeah, they're very flavorful.
Ooh, boy. Several years ago, you talked about a great foot soak removing the skin. I can't remember what. Oh, we already did that one. He sent it again. Somebody sent it again to make sure we did. Have you had much experience from Julie working with anyone with Morgellons, a dear friend of mine who's had scabies for the last 8 years per her CEDS machine? Her symptoms seem to have gotten worse lately, so she scanned herself and came up with Morgellons. She detoxes her body often and is healthy except for the burning and itching in her scalp and butt areas. Any ideas?
Yes, a lot of experience with Morgellons. The first step, of course, is to stop believing that you even have it. So if she can take that first step, then I can help her. So in other words, a lot of people are exposed to Morgellons, but not everyone suffers with it. So you have to focus not so much on the Morgellons, but why are you suffering with it? So people with Morgellons, a lot of them do very well with just Vitality capsules alone. But you may need also a dietary change and more extensive detoxing. But that's the short story of Morgellons.
In my experience over many times of taking these machines that are very expensive that you get hooked up to tell you what's wrong with you, mm-hmm. I don't believe any of them. They come up with all kinds of stuff. Oh, you got this. Oh, you got that. And you got that.
Yeah, I took on. My husband, of course, is a totally non-compliant, see it, you eat it kind of guy.
Right.
And so I said, just out of desperation, because he wasn't really listening to me, I took him to this guy with one of these really fancy machines.
Yeah.
You hold the things in each one of your hands and your foot on the surrounding pad, and then all these triangles show up on the machine and blah, 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 blah. So my husband does it, and it shows my husband is in pretty good condition. And then I do it, and it shows that I'm just falling apart, man. Things are critical here.
Oh, you said a million things wrong, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so, of course, my husband is deceased now. And I am feeling great, running up and down the mountain, doing my splits, and getting ready to work on being a contortionist. So, I'm not that taken with the results. And a lady here, where I live in my neighborhood, she was going to this guy and paying him lots of money, and each session was like $49, and she was into it for several hundred dollars. And she just took some turpentine, and boom, everything that was bothering her cleared up.
What was the machine telling her? She had this and that and this and that.
Oh, yeah. She had it was telling her she had a parasite, dengue or something, which is believable. But hey, if you live down here, everyone gets exposed to dengue. So why are you suffering? And she had back pain and she had just had a list of things going on. But she took the turpentine and she took her a while to take it. She had to work up to it. Well, isn't that poison? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, you're not even paying me. And you want me to argue with you? So she finally convinced herself that she wanted to take it, and she took it, and it cleared it up, and she couldn't believe it. She was like, she's telling everybody, that turpentine is great. Of course, people are telling her she's crazy, mind her own business. She's like,
That's hilarious. Where do you get the Diamond G where you are, or do you have a local source?
I go to the hardware store, and they go to a big tub in the back, and they pour it into a gallon jug and hand it to
you. Wow, really? A real deal, huh?
Yeah, as my daughter would say, pretty sketchy.
Pretty sketchy. Well, but they probably just.
But it works.
Yeah. What do they do? Do you ask them? Do they just tap the tree and distill it, or?
Oh no, I'm way downstream from that.
Okay.
They don't. They have no information.
No.
In fact, they take a black chalk marker and write Aguareros on the can, which is Spanish for turpentine.
But you trust
not the can.
So
the
you
jug.
Trust you trust that though.
Yeah, I take it. It works. It gives me the desired effect. Hey, thumbs up. We're good.
Okay. Gotcha. Gwen is in New York. Please ask Dr. Daniels if a slight 1-inch vertical tear, peroneus brevis, of the tendon can heal on its own without surgery. It's been a couple of years since the ankle twist. The doctor said the only way to heal the tendon is through surgery. She said that it has a tear down too close up or builds scar tissue, and it has prone to more tearing.
That would be true if you continue to eat the way you've been eating. So your problem is your diet has not enough collagen in it to repair this tendon properly. So what you need to do is you need to take collagen, and you can go to Great Lakes Gelatin and buy their gelatin, Great Lakes Beef Gelatin. Quarter cup a day is the dose. You have to dilute that in 1 or 2 cups of water. Then, because you have this lumpy scar there, you've got to do some cleansing. So you can do Vitality capsules, make sure you poop. I would say 3 or even 4 times a day, and that's going to remove that junky scar, and the gelatin that you're eating is going to replace it, so you have a nice, smooth tendon there without that lump.
Mm-hmm.
And that should heal up very nicely.
Justin writes in to Dr. Jennifer Daniels on this July 24 morning. He says, I have a question. My dad is diagnosed with atrial fibrillation. He's on several meds. He seems to be going downhill.
Yeah.
And we would like to get him off his medications. Any ideas? By the way, he lives in Panama. Oh.
Okay. Does he want to get off his medicines?
Yeah, that's the important thing, right? What is dad?
Yeah, that's critical.
What's dad want to do?
So if he doesn't want to get off his medicines, everyone's wasting their time here. All right, so he lives in Panama. So I can tell you, if he lives in Panama, I can tell you, he's eating at the Panaderia. What's the Panaderia? Panaderia is the bakery. And so all that white flour in the baked goods causes atrial fibrillation due to B vitamin deficiency. So he's got to get rid of his baked goods, his wheat, his sugar. And if he drinks anything at all besides water, that is contributing to it as well. So he needs a dietary overhaul. Now, again, he lives in Panama. So living in Panama, I can tell you, he might not be that motivated to do a dietary overhaul. So you have to check with him, kind of float those ideas with him, see what he thinks. And even if he actually just tries a little bit of that, he should notice that his heart rhythm improves. And then he can start tapering off his medicines. I also offer discovery sessions, drjenniferdaniels.org, appointments to, you know, kind of delve into it deeper. But definitely to kind of float this by him. And if he says, what, are you kidding? Give up my cheesecake? Uh-uh. Then he's not a candidate for natural healing.
Why do you think if he lives there, he goes to this Panaderia place? All the Americans do?
Because I live here. I mean, yeah. I know. Yeah. There's a Panaderia on every corner. And the baked goods are so inexpensive, and they're everywhere. And that's what causes AFib. Is
sugar.
It's white flour.
White flour.
And so either he's eating white flour products or spaghetti noodles or something. There's something in his diet that's causing this atrial fibrillation. And those are the two culprits.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned white flour. What do you make of the whole wheat thing? Do you have a conjecture on what this is going on, all this gluten stuff?
Yes.
I'd love to hear it.
So what's going on with all this gluten stuff is people basically have too much of a microorganism in their body that eats this stuff, and too little of the stuff in their body that would buffer this particular organism. So the tip-off to this is something called tropical sprue. Tropical sprue, yeah. And so tropical sprue basically is a gluten sensitivity people get. They live in America, everything's fine. They go to the tropics for vacation. They come back, and all of a sudden, they have gluten sensitivity. What happened in the tropics? So we were taught in medical school that they picked up a parasite called sprue.
Sprue.
And, yeah, sprue, tropical sprue.
Sprue.
And so they picked this up, and they go back to the United States, and all of a sudden, they're gluten sensitive. For a while there, I thought, well, okay. But then, wait a minute, there are people in the United States who got gluten sensitivity. They had never been to tropics. And so identical disease, identical symptoms, and what's it called? Non-tropical sprue. I'm like, okay, this is getting pretty unscientific right now, right about now, right? Either a sprue or it isn't. Either it's an organism and they got it or they don't. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So then I went to the tropics on vacation. And I said, okay, what's happening in the tropics? Well, what's happening in tropics, aside from any parasites you might get, is you have a diet that's very high in sugar. You've got these sugary drinks with or without alcohol. You've got these pastries, and you've got this tropical fruit, and that's pretty much your diet. You might have a little bit of high-protein fish, but that's a diet you eat while you're on vacation in the tropics. And so you come back to your country, let's say the United States, your gut has been totally flipped upside down and it's not able to handle gluten. And if you look at what's a similar diet, most people who are vegetarians are eating a diet that's high in carbohydrates one way or another, that's very low in fats. And so when you go to the tropics, your diet is very, very, very low in fats. You might get a deep fried something or other, but not usually. Usually you have the ceviche, which is a chopped pickled fish.
Yeah,
or, you know, it's just not, you don't have a lot of fat in the diet. And so what I've concluded is that the gluten sensitivity is due to an imbalance in the diet and a toxicity. So I've actually reversed people's gluten sensitivity just by cleaning them out and rebalancing their diet. And then they found, oh, I can eat gluten. Oh, I had some gluten and I didn't have a reaction. Hello. So by blaming it on a parasite, which everyone loves. Oh, yeah, I went to that third world country and got a parasite.
It's all their fault. It's all their fault.
Everyone's going to swallow that one, right? That's how come you can launch these false flag Ebolas and Zikas and all this other nonsense. Because everyone believes that the other, whatever that other is filled with evil. So this whole gluten sensitivity thing is a self, not only a self-fulfilling prophecy, but a self-perpetuating prophecy. So what do you do when you're on a gluten-free diet? You eat gluten-free cookies that are filled with sugar and all the stuff that causes and feeds your gluten sensitivity.
Gluten-free waffles.
Oh, absolutely. There you go.
There you go.
And so you're never going to solve the problem, and you're just going to feed it and contribute to it. And you can't, you know, I've tried to talk to people who are gluten sensitive, who've been gluten sensitive for like decades, right? And they're like, oh, no, this is permanent. You don't understand. If there's a speck of gluten, how can I read all the labels? And reading labels is almost like nonsense, because a lot of times the gluten is not on the label. And, you know, I've even gone online and read about, you know, this gluten sensitivity, blah, blah, blah. You know, they put gluten in ham. They when they inject the water in there, they inject gluten with that so that it'll hold the water in and water won't leak out.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, this gluten is put everywhere. So the strategy of avoiding gluten is not a reasonable long-term strategy. It's far better to, you know, clean your system out, take some turpentine and switch to unprocessed foods. If it says gluten-free, that's reason enough not to buy it. So you want to buy unprocessed food. You don't want to buy some gluten substitute or whatever, because that's even worse. So that's what I've found.
Well, pretty interesting, boy, I tell you what. You know, and I think it's, well, your point is well taken. There's a lot of folks that get these things and they really enjoy having them because it's a big part of their life, you know, and they don't want to let go of them.
Well, it becomes their life and they lose the rest of their life.
Right. No, I don't want to let go of that. No, man.
Like, I used to be, like, when I was vegan, I became gluten sensitive about year 10 of being vegan. And I didn't like it because all of a sudden I'd eat a piece of bread and I would get really emotional. My tummy would feel bad. I would gain weight. It's a mess. Now, I'm not gluten sensitive, but I can make my own bread. I can eat bread. I don't gain weight eating bread. I don't get irritable or moody. And it's not a problem. Now, I'm not eating 10 slices of bread a day. I don't go to the panaderia. In fact, they're off my list. don't bother with them.
No, go ahead.
But if I want to eat a piece of bread or something with gluten, it's not a problem. And so I'll eat bread about, it depends on the week. Some weeks, once a week. Some week, five times a week. So it just depends on what, what I'm doing.
And you make your own, huh? You make your own.
Well, yeah, I recommend the no-knead method. It takes 10 minutes to make a loaf of bread. It's amazing. Better than a bread maker. I gave my bread maker away. It's like, nah, out of here.
Okay, a couple more before we go. I have a question about bronchitis, coughing, lung infections. Recently had some coughing and occasionally coughing of blood. Ooh, I'm concerned that it could get worse. Is there anything I can do to alleviate this condition without taking meds? It's been going on for a week now, but I think it's slowly getting better. What's the blood thing? What that's about?
When you cough forcefully, you can break a very delicate blood vessels.
Okay.
In the lungs. So this person sounds like they're doing a lot of coughing. So dietary intervention: stop all dairy, everything, all dairy, anything with dairy in it. I would even go so far as to stop the wheat and the sugar. Just stop it, and you'll see the congestion diminish. So if it's already improving, then that dietary change will actually go a long way. Mm-hmm. And many people find that turpentine really clears it up. Now, we've skipped a step here, right? So you've got to poop. So what's happening is your body is putting waste out through the lungs instead of through the colon into the toilet.
Ah.
So you've got to reverse that flow and get the toxins flowing to the toilet, change your diet. That might be all you need. You might not even need the turpentine.
Mm-hmm. I've had a rash on my that covers my upper legs and my butt cheeks. Wow, it can get relatively tame, but not gone. I've tried so many topicals, including tea tree, vitamin C cream. He lists a whole thing, a lot of stuff. I'm vegan and try to avoid high histamine foods. I don't know what else to do. Some years ago, I took turpentine, but it gave me arrhythmia. I did have a heart attack a couple of years ago due to oxidative stress and inflammation, which built up too much calcified plaque, my coronary arteries. But now I'm strong. I have some neurological instability in my legs. But what could this ongoing rash be in his butt?
All right, so the problem is the rash is not a skin problem. The skin problem is just a symptom of an internal problem. So there's something in his blood that's, you know, being expressed in his skin. That's one thing. The other problem is it's a dietary problem. If you have a rash this extensive, it suggests that your body is not able to repair the skin. And so he has a gelatin deficiency. Gelatin is an animal product. I'll be, you know, straightforward about that. But if he ate a quarter cup of gelatin every day, he would literally see this rash on his butt and everything heal up because the body would fix his skin.
Oh, a quarter cup of the red can?
Reddish-orange can.
The Great Lakes gelatin. A quarter cup dry, and you say that every day. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're real short on time, so caller, you got to make this quick because she has an appointment. Doc has an appointment in three and a half minutes. Hi, go ahead.
That's
You're
right.
on the air. Go.
Hey, this is Sharon. I'm not sleepless in Seattle, and I missed part of your show because I was sleeping.
Okay, good. What's going on?
I'm
on
you.
Hey, Dr. Daniels. I'm calling because years ago I got poison oak severely, and I was one of the rarest cases the way my body hyper-reacted. I got stung by 4 bees this week, and it was like my body went back and reverted that same thing. What should have just been a little bee sting, my body swelled up, itching, burning, you name it, restless leg, all that kind of stuff going on. Is that a nervous system? And the only thing relief that I could find is I actually put some hemp oil on it, and that was the only relief I've gotten. What's going on in my body that would be triggering all the symptoms, do you think?
Your liver is totally clogged. So what happened that's it. The liver is clogged, period. So once you clear out the liver, then bee stings won't bother you. If you get poison oak or whatever, it'll clear up quickly. But your liver
is... So do I need to get the milk thistle? Is that what you recommend I get to clean out the liver?
No. The milk thistle gets junk out of the blood into the liver, but now you have the problem getting out of the liver into the intestines. And so you might have a problem with both processes, but most likely... the block is in the intestinal area or the bile duct. So the place to start with is more bowel movements. Then you can go address the bile ducts. You might want to do even a couple of liver flushes. The simplest way, easiest way, is to simplify your diet and increase your bowel movements. So in my medical practice, I was able to reverse these things simply with bowel movements, milk thistle, and 100% organic and vegan diet.
Well, that's pretty much what I eat, and some bowel movements I have 3 a day. So, you know, like this morning, all I've had is I just had some celery and cucumber.
Yeah, we get it. Okay, so, Doc, we're short on time. Can you just do more of what she's doing then, what you're recommending?
Yeah, she can add the milk thistle and do a liver flush or a few of them.
Okay, my dear.
Thank you so much.
Helps.
You have a blessed day.
Yeah.
All right.
That was Sharon, and she's not sleepless in Seattle. And you have 50 seconds to get your next appointment.
Yes.
I hope you don't have to drive a long way.
No, I don't have to drive too far.
Just kidding. Well, Doc, you're great fun to talk to. Appreciate your work. Glad you're taking good care of yourself. Have fun up and down the mountains, and we will see you next month, okay? Dr. Jennifer Daniels.
Okay.
Give your new website again.
drjenniferdaniels.org.
drjenniferdaniels.com/.org, where you can get the Candida Report and the books and stuff. And then the Vitality Capsules are at vitalitycapsules.com. The discovery session is going to be at the drjenniferdaniels.org, right?
Correct.
I got lucky. Thanks, dear. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Dr. Jennifer Daniels, she's a good one. And Andrew Goss is here on Wednesday and the Massey's on Thursday. Fun week ahead. Open phone Friday. appreciate your ongoing support. We're going to be ordering up some sulfur today, like now, like whatever, in the next hour or so. Didn't even mention sulfur this morning. If you'd like to get some sulfur, you can just go online right now and get some. People really love it. By the way, for Sharon in Seattle, it's a good thing, too, for liver. Make sure you're taking plenty of sulfur. It helps to move things out of liver. All of these liver things, sulfur works really well with this. If you'd like more than 4 pounds, email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. But we're going to order probably by 1 or 2 o'clock this afternoon. We order a few times a week. Okay, I love you all very much. Take care. You're doing good. Thanks a lot. See you soon. Bye.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.